Thank you for joining me this Sunday morning as we continue our study of Romans. Last week in our study of these verses, we focused on verse 16 in two words, grace and faith. Grace and faith is how we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In our study, I quoted John Stott, who said of grace and faith, "Grace gives, faith takes." In other words, we come to a saving knowledge only through Christ. It is not of our efforts. We can only accept the faith that God gives us. This leads us to today's focal passage. So turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. We're back again in verse 16 as we continue to study these wonderful verses. Romans 4, verse 16. It reads, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations,' in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Paul tells us that Abraham is the father of us all. He makes this statement throughout the chapter. In fact, he starts off Romans chapter 4 making this statement. Romans 4:1, Paul wrote, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh?" Later on in verse 11, Paul writes, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also." There again, 4:1, Abraham our father, 4:11, the father of all of those who believe. What does this mean, that Abraham is the father of us all? Of course, Abraham is the patriarch of the Jewish people. That makes sense that he's the father of the Jewish people. And in fact, in God's covenant promise with Abraham in Genesis 12:2, God told Abraham that he would make him a great nation. That makes sense, but why is Abraham our father? Well, remember last week we saw where Abraham did not come to salvation through works, circumcision, or the law. Paul laid out that case in Romans 4. Abraham came through those two words that we studied last week, grace and faith. This is why our focal passage says in verse 16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law," referring to the Jews, "but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Abraham is our father, our pattern, our model, if you will. He came by faith, and we also come by faith. This is how Abraham would be known as the father of many nations. Well, if Abraham is the father of us all, how should we model the life of Abraham? What should we emulate? What should we use as a guide? Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon in 1893 using a different verse as we're using today, but it is so relevant to our message today. In that sermon, Spurgeon used the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews 11, in describing how we should model Abraham. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. It reads, By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There's a number of things that I want to point out that Spurgeon also had pointed out in that sermon from 1893. First, Abraham is a person of faith. If you look at verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed. We too, as Christians, are people of faith. And in fact, earlier in Hebrews 11, in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, referring to God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's not just enough to say that God exists. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must diligently seek God. You see this in the life of Abraham. He wasn't just giving God lip service. How so? Well, it tells us in Hebrews 11. First, it says that he left his past. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Well, if you're called to go out, you're leaving somewhere else, correct? And we know that Abraham left his home. He left his homeland. He left his idolatrous past. He left his friends. He left his acquaintances. He left everything that was familiar to him. He took God at his word. He picked up and he left. We too, as believers, are to pick up and leave our old life as we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're to repent. We're to turn from our sin. And we're to turn to God. If we truly do this, this means that we do leave things in our past. We leave friends that aren't believers. We leave places that we should not frequent as Christians. We take on a whole new different environment with different friends, different relationships. It reminds me of that great old hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. The lyrics of that hymn say, the world behind me, the cross before me. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. This is what Abraham did. He left his familiar surroundings and he took a step of faith. We too are to leave the old and turn to God and leave our past life. You may be trying to live a life with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, but that's impossible. And in fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Abraham left. We too are to leave our old life. Well, when he left one life and he started living another. Well, where did he live? Well, our verses in Hebrews 11 tells us that he lived in the land of promise. This is how we should live as well. You and I as believers should be living in the land of promise. We should be taking God at His word. We should be serving the victorious Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing that all of His words are true and faithful. And Matthew 5:5 tells us that the meek will inherit the earth. Sometimes it looks like the world is winning and the world is in control, but you and I need to be living in the land of promise. We need to be living a life of victory. Just as Abraham didn't live to see the fullness of the promises that God gave him, we too are to live on the promises of God, knowing that we may not see them in completion during our time here on earth as we live, but we know that God is a God of promise, and that that He's coming again, and that He's calling us unto Himself, and that we'll dwell with Him eternally. That's the life that we need to be living. That's the mindset that we need to have. It reminds me of Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He later says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We should be living in the land of promise. We're to live in the kingdom of God. After all, the Bible says that we're just pilgrims and sojourners in this world. This world isn't us. It's not who we are. We're to live in the land of promise, in the kingdom of God. And this leads me to my next point. Even though Abraham was a person of faith, who left his old life, was living in the land of promise, what was he living in? He was living in a tent. It says by faith in Hebrews 11, verse 9, it says by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is what we are to do. Now, I'm not proposing that we go down to our local sporting goods store and pick up a tent and become nomads. What I am pointing out, though, is that Abraham was not tied down with the things of this world. He was mobile. He was flexible. This is how we're to live. We're not to be focused on the things of this world. We're not to be weighed down with the things of this world. We're not to be encumbered with the things of this world. Our grip is to be loose on worldly things. We're to also be living in a tent, if you will. Not only was he living in a tent, but he was also surrounded by like-minded people. Join me again. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was dwelling with his family, and his family were heirs in the promise. just as Abraham was surrounded with like-minded people, heirs of the promise, you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are to be surrounded by other brothers and sisters in Christ as we live out our life of faith. It reminds me in the chapter before, in Hebrews chapter 10, 24, when the writer of Hebrews said, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." This is what we're to be doing. We're to be meeting together. We're to be considering one another. We should be encouraging each other to stir up love and good works. See, my friends, the church is not a solo sport. It's a team sport. If you think about all the Pauline epistles, the vast majority of the letters that Paul wrote weren't to the individual. They were to the churches. You and I are being called to God's kingdom, and we are being placed in His kingdom, and we're being given gifts in His kingdom, and we're to use those gifts in the service of our Savior in the church. You may recall earlier in our study of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, where Paul said in verse 11 to the church at Rome, he said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. I love that. You and I have a mutual faith. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. And just as just as Abraham surrounded himself with heirs of the promise, you and I should surround ourselves with heirs of the promise. We need to be part of His church. We need to be active in church. We need to be encouraging our brothers and sisters. And during this time of corona and separation, I long for when we can get back face to face and see one another and worship together. And I've enjoyed, as I'm out and about, and when I'm doing things in town, and I get to see my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've been separated for these weeks now. And we need to cherish what we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, and have the life of Abraham as our model, and surround ourselves with people that are like-minded and are our brothers and sisters. In addition to that, Abraham knew that this life was temporary, but he had his mind on the eternal. If you look at verse 10 back in Hebrews 11, it says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now, let's talk about that just for a quick moment. One, he was dwelling in a tent. Now, we know that tents aren't temporary, or aren't permanent, excuse me. Tents are temporary. They're mobile. They don't last. If you've ever gone camping, when I've gone camping in a tent, invariably they rain, or they leak when it rains. It is... you know, or they dry rot if you've had them stored for too long in between camping trips. They're just not something of permanence. And while he was, think about this, while he was dwelling in a tent, it said that he waited for the city which has foundations. Now, foundation's permanent, isn't it? He waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham had an eternal view. He longed for heaven. He longed for that permanence. It reminds me of Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21, when Paul wrote, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My friends, with all of the problems that we have, and I think we would all agree that we are living in a world that seems out of control at the moment. It's out of control medically. It's out of control economically. And there's something so much better. It's a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we should long for it. Why is Abraham the father of us all? Because he lived. He just didn't say he had faith. He lived a life of faith. And today I'm going to ask you a question. If you're a believer this morning, I'm going to ask you, are you living a life of faith? And I'm not talking about just a Sunday morning wink towards God. Are you living a life daily for Christ? Are you reading His Word? Are you petitioning Him in prayer? Are you having relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ and serving the Lord together? Have you left your old life and you're living life anew in Christ Jesus? If this doesn't describe you today, right where you are, just recommit your life to Jesus. I can't think of a better thing to do than just recommit your walk and seek God out daily. Seek His will daily. Seek His truth daily. I'm going to encourage you to do that today. Or maybe you're listening in and you don't know Christ. You don't have a walk of faith. And you may be asking yourself, well, how do I do that? It's really quite simple. Just as how Abraham came to God in faith, taking God at His word, this morning you can exercise that faith in the promises and truth of Christ, where you ask for forgiveness of your sins, where you've offended God, you ask Him to forgive you. And when you ask for forgiveness of sins, you also repent, you turn away from that life. You turn away from that life of sin and you turn to the things of God and you ask God into your heart and ask Him to be Savior and Lord of your life. And if you've never done that, if you've never taken that step of faith, if you've never left your old life and turned to God, do that today. Say that prayer and become a Christian today. And if you make that decision, let us know so that we can disciple you in this new life that you have with Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer, please. Lord, we just thank You for the life of Abraham. We thank You that we can see your plan through the covenants, and we can see that Abraham is the father of us all, and that you fulfilled that promise that you made with Abraham. And we just know that you're a God of your word, and that you'll fulfill those promises with us, that we can stand on your truth. It's sure, and we can rest in it. It's true. And I pray, Lord, that we as believers will stand on your word and we'll walk in faith just as Abraham walked in faith. And Lord, I pray if there's someone listening today who does not know you, who doesn't have a walk, I pray, Lord, that they would become a believer today. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. We just pray that we'd rest in you in this time of stress and strife. And we pray, Lord, that we'd serve you daily and proclaim your goodness and your truth to a world that does not know you. In Jesus' name, amen.